We'd be opening your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. So great to see everybody today. Beautiful day that the Lord has blessed us with. Appreciate so much the songs that Doug has led us in and the sentiments that they express that we ought to praise the Lord and thank Him each and every day of our lives for His goodness. He is good to us, and we're thankful that we can be together this morning and think on Him a little bit together. Fellowship that we share in Jesus Christ is truly a wonderful thing, a very special thing to us every first day of the week as we have the opportunity to gather together. We're reminded of the family that we have in Jesus Christ and what that means to us, and the need that we have to be alert in this world, this changing world, this world that has much swirling about it and challenges that are in it. And just to come to a place where people love God and want to serve Him is truly a blessing. We're thankful that we can do that together today. I want to make mention to you that next Sunday, appreciate your prayers, as we'll be traveling. I know that there will be a number of folks over the next couple of weeks that will be doing that, be holding a meeting next week, be away for Sunday and for a few days. And so appreciate your prayers as we're traveling and others as well about this time of year. In Matthew 13 and verses 24 through 30, appreciate Doug Thorben reading that for us this morning. We have this parable, and that parable really kind of centers in on the idea of judgment. You find that theme many times in the parables of the Lord. That is not any different with this parable in Matthew 13 and verses 24 through 30. But one of the things that you notice in the parable, just from a physical, secular kind of thing, is that what took place in the parable, and I don't think this is the key part of the parable by any means, but certainly a lesson that I think we can take from and learn from, and that is that when men were asleep, that's when they were most vulnerable. They were most vulnerable to attack from their enemy. And so in this parable, an enemy comes in and he sows tares among good crops, no doubt wanting to affect those crops and their ability to grow. But while men slept, in those literal circumstances, in that condition, adversity was introduced into those circumstances. And that's a frightening thing. I don't know if there's anybody here that's ever had someone break into their home. That's a bad thing. But to have someone break into your home when you're asleep, that's an even more terrifying thing. I remember when Sheila and I were just married, we had gone to visit my parents who were preaching in London, England. And they had a three-story flat. And we were sleeping that night. He had had a Bible study with someone during the day. And I remember that I think we were on the second floor. Jacob was asleep on the couch, I think on the first floor. And we think this gentleman that my dad had studied with had seen some things in the house that interested him. And in the middle of the night, he broke in. And he walked right by Jacob, right past us on the second floor to the third floor, and stole a computer, stole a bunch of other things from the house. But he could have very easily done us harm physically if he had so chosen to do so. And that is a terrible thought, to be asleep like that and to find yourself vulnerable to someone or some situation that you don't know anything about. In secular terms, that certainly has been the case. It was George Washington that crossed over the Delaware River with 2,500 troops, catching the British off guard in the middle of the night and won a victory about this time of year, maybe a little bit later. And that led, as you know, to American independence, along with many other battles. In Bible times, it was the Medes and Persians that came in at night, catching the Babylonian empire off guard and ultimately conquering Babylon. And we know about things like that that happen from time to time. In general, sleep should be a good thing. It should be that which comes on the tail end of work. It should come on the tail end of righteousness and good things. And so we're able to rest as a result of needing that as we're productive and good people. And in its truest sense, that ought to be the case. But oftentimes, if you'll turn back to the book of Jonah, oftentimes in the Bible, sleep is communicated to us in the negative. It is not always presented as something that is positive. In fact, I think the majority of the times that sleep is referred to in general terms, it is used negatively. That was the case with the prophet Jonah. And this morning I want for us just to encourage you for a few minutes this morning. Don't fall asleep this morning. And in general, in spiritual terms, don't fall asleep. We'll look at some examples of that from the Scriptures and some lessons I think we can learn from people that did that. Jonah fell asleep. And I think he did that to avoid responsibility. Jonah was running away from something. And when he ran away from something, the easiest thing for him to do, it appears, was just to kind of remove himself from the situation as best that he could. Jonah slept to avoid responsibility. Now, we remember in this story that God had given Jonah a duty to fulfill. He said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to proclaim to them, to preach to them, that they will be judged. And Jonah, he didn't take too kindly to that. He didn't want to go at all to that place, fearing, I think, as you look through the story, that they would do, in fact, what they did, and that was repent. He really didn't want to see that happen. But Jonah was given this responsibility. And he decides that he will, as sometimes people do, to try to run from the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you something. That's not something you can do. You cannot run from the presence of the Lord. But Jonah attempts to do that, and what we see in Jonah is that really there is this digression. And many times people's lives follow this same digression. God tells him in the first part of the book to arise. And instead of arising, he begins to go down and down and down. We see this progression here in terms of what Jonah does. Look at Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3. After he is told to arise and go to Nineveh in verse 2, it says, But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And we begin to see that this kind of mirrors what's happening in the life of Jonah. He's told to get himself up. He's told to go and do the will of God. And yet he goes the opposite direction. He goes down to Joppa. He goes down into the boat. And we're going to see he lays down to go to sleep. As you come into the next couple of verses there, we're told that that was the case. And then we see in chapter 2 and verse 6 that he goes down into the depths of the sea. That's the digression that he takes. And ultimately, what we see in the story is that there is a situation here that arises where he could have done something differently. And he is told by these sailors to wake up. He is in this unconscious state. And sometimes the easiest thing for us to do is just do what Jonah did. To try to sleep the situation away. To look for some unconscious state that we can get ourselves into, whether that is by alcohol or some other substance or some other activity that we're involved with. And perhaps while we're not asleep physically, we may be asleep very much mentally, very much emotionally, with no real acuity and no reason in our lives. And so look what happens in the story. The poor sailors are affected and are suffering as a result of Jonah's choices. And they attempt to wake him up. And unfortunately, when they do wake him up, he doesn't seem, at least in my opinion, to make the right choice. Instead of saying, turn this ship around and get me as quickly as you can to Nineveh, what he says is, throw me into the ocean. Kill me, essentially, is what he's telling them to do. And when we are shaken from our stupor, it is not time for self-destruction, but to call upon God. Jonah was asleep. And it seems to me that he was asleep because he was trying to avoid responsibility. There's a lot of people that do that. That's just kind of the way that they live their lives. Look again at another story back in the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Don't fall asleep like Jonah, and don't fall asleep like Samson either. Samson slept when he really should have been on the highest alert. This guy, it really seems like he just let his passions kind of move him. He let his passions drive him into situations where he was ultimately very vulnerable. And he didn't govern very well his attraction to the opposite sex. And that failure to do that in our lives can be very, very destructive. And can put us into situations where we are in great danger. And as a result of that, Samson sins against God and places himself in a very, very vulnerable situation. And he makes this wrong choice. Perhaps you're familiar with the story. Three times this woman, Delilah, tries to convince him to reveal his secrets. What is it that gives you your strength? What is it that makes you the man that you are? And she tries to pull that information from him in whatever way that she can, enticing him in the way that she could. And I think that what was happening there was as plain as day, and sometimes that's the case for us. That what's taking place is just right in front of our face, and we can see it just as easily as can be. But yet for Samson, for whatever reason, maybe he didn't care. He was so smitten by her. And eventually he does tell her how his strength can be neutralized. Ultimately what happens because of Samson's sleep is that he falls victim to his fleshly inclinations. He was in the situation that he was in because of that very thing. And it was in his sleep, notice Judges chapter 16 and verse 19, that the enemy took advantage of him when he wasn't aware. Judges 16 and verse 19, it says, then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him and his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. The same thing that she had said those other times. And he had been successful in those other times. But his strength truly had left him. And he says to himself in verse 20, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. And when the Lord departs from us, we're vulnerable to destruction just like Samson was. In the next verse, it tells us that they took him and they put out his eyes and they bound him in prison. The enemy, the Philistines. The story really has a tragic ending there, but it's the same ending that we have when we ultimately fall asleep and we're not alert. And Samson should have been. But the story has the same ending that I think we have, and that is that we are blinded and we are imprisoned when we are not alert. Don't fall asleep. Look over at Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, the disciples of the Lord sleep. And I think this is probably a lot like Eutychus. It's a lot like sometimes we are. That we're human beings and we have these debilities and we have these weaknesses about us. And sometimes we are just weak, maybe emotionally, maybe physically, that we are weak. But the disciples in Mark chapter 14 are with the Lord at this very critical moment in His life when Calvary was on the horizon and they so needed Gethsemane. They so needed that time with the Lord to pray to Him, to seek His strength. And the Lord wants them to be of help to Him in that regard, to pray with Him. And in Mark chapter 14 and verse 34, He says to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. And He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will." Then He came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." There are times in our lives when we need to just go one more hour. And there are natural inclinations that we have, and there is fatigue that sets in, and there are difficulties that we naturally face, and we just at times just need to overcome that inclination at critical moments in our lives. Jesus wanted them to watch with Him just 1 hour in prayer, and this was a critical time for Him. In verse 38, He says again, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, He went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when He returned, He found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy and they did not know what to answer Him. Sometimes we let our guard down because we're tired, because maybe mentally we're tired. And we say on Sunday morning, "I really need my sleep," instead of being with the people of God. Or maybe, you know, "I'll read my Bible another day." Or "I'll pray when it's a little more convenient." When we just need to give it that one more hour and strengthen ourselves because we know that we need that. When in fact we and the disciples are in the garden to work up the strength and discipline to give it just that little bit more. And there are times when that certainly is the case for Jesus. There were times when we are worn down. There were times when He was worn down. But when Calvary is on the horizon, we need Gethsemane. And we need to push ourselves just that one more hour. Don't fall asleep. When we look at the Scriptures in Proverbs chapter 24, we encounter a guy that because of laziness, look back at this passage, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 24 and verses 30 through 34. "The sluggard we encounter here slept because of laziness. And he wasn't doing the very things that would enable him to live a life that was productive and good. In Proverbs 24 and verses 30 through 34, he says, I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. He says, I'm paying attention to what's going on. There's a lot of things that we can see and lessons that we can learn in life just from paying attention and considering what we see. In verse 33, he says, here's the lesson. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Problems, folks, will creep up on us just like this fellow because of our penchant for sleep. To fall asleep, to be lazy in our lives. And because of that, this man, his vineyard, was compromised. And really what his issues boil down to is that he wasn't performing that necessary preventative maintenance that was needed every day to make sure that thing where I bet Eddie could preach us a long sermon on that idea of how important it is just on a daily basis to maintain what it is that we possess. How many times this past week did you read your Bible? Are the weeds starting to grow with more ferocity in your spiritual life and you're not performing that regular maintenance? How many times did you really take time to pray this week? How many times did you pick up the phone to call somebody that may be in need, that may be hurting, that we announce from time to time that you know personally is struggling? Just reach out a hand. How many times did we do those kinds of things in our spiritual lives to make them what they ought to be? May God help us not to be lazy and inactive in our spiritual lives. Don't fall asleep was a message that we read in the book of Ephesians. Look over at the New Testament book of Ephesians and chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 14 through 17. Don't fall asleep because of carelessness, because of apathy, because of a failure to give attention to those things that you ought to give attention to. And it appears that some there in this place had done that very thing. Certainly the people in that place had done that thing. But maybe there were Christians as well that were falling asleep. And he says there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, therefore, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Just some people that are just so lackadaisical about so many of the big questions of life. Careless. Why am I here? And where am I going? What is this about? And some just completely ignore those enormous questions of life. Not circumspect, not redeeming the time. Look back just a couple of pages to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. You know, Jesus many times spoke of death. And when he spoke of death, many times he said they've fallen asleep. That's the way that he kind of associated that idea of death. If we substitute the idea of dead here with sleep, as Jesus sometimes did, we have an important lesson for us. He said, "And you He made alive who were asleep in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were asleep in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Certainly, when we think of the Corinthians as well, we read in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30, "For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep," because they weren't discerning the Lord's body. Are you falling asleep? Are you discerning the Lord's body? Are you giving attention to the things that you ought to give the most attention to in your life? It is high time, as the Scriptures speak of it, for us to awake and not to remain in that situation. Let us not sleep as the world. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 6 through 8. "Let us not sleep as the world, but be sober and be vigilant," as we've been studying in our class in 1 Peter. To not sleep as the world does. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 6 through 8. He says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." Look, there's not a lot of good that happens after midnight. There's not a lot of positive things that take place in terms of the balance of activity once the sun goes down. And that's what he's speaking to. He calls them children of light there in verse 5. But he says, "Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as the helmet, the hope of salvation." Do not sleep like the world does, but be sober and be vigilant. Young people, listen to the instruction of your parents, because the thing that they're instructing you in is righteousness. How to be what God would have you to be. Look back at the book of Proverbs. There's a man that wrote to his son. And there is a sleep that is good. We've talked about some negative aspects of sleep as we see it in the Scriptures. But there's a good sleep. It's the sleep that we ought to most long for, and it is a sleep that is characterized by righteousness and by goodness. The Scripture says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. When you do good, when you're right with the Lord, I know I spent a lot of sleepless nights when I was younger, especially before I became a Christian, because I knew that I wasn't right with God. And I couldn't sleep. But when you know that you are right with the Lord, and you lay your head down on your pillow, you can sleep the sleep that God wants for all of us to have. In Proverbs chapter 6, this man writes to his son, young people, pay attention to the words of your parents as they teach you in the way of God. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20 through 23, He says, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck." You keep those close to you. You listen to what your parents are saying as they give godly instruction. Because, verse 22, "When you roam, they will lead you. And when you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." That's the sleep the Lord desires, and a sleep that will guide us and that will keep us. And when we awake, that we'll be guided in the right way. I don't know how much time that you have left on this earth. I don't know how much time I have left on this earth. But I hope and pray that as 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 and verse 14 describes, that I will sleep in Jesus. That, as he says there, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." And there is a confidence in that, and a peace in that, that is so wonderful and so precious and far outweighs anything physical that this life can offer to us. The psalmist speaks of it in Psalm 17 and verse 15 when he says, I think prospectively as he is thinking about eternity, he says, "As for me," and that's the question that every one of us must consider. "As for me," because I can't control it. Anybody else. Same thing that Joshua said, "As for me and my house." The psalmist says in 17:15, "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." That's the kind of sleep that we ought to seek. I'd like to close with one other passage, and that's in Romans chapter 13. If you would turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13 and verses 11 through 14. In Romans chapter 13 and beginning in verse 11, I'd like to close our time together with this passage and encourage anybody that knows that you have been very much asleep and that you haven't done as the Lord would have you to do. As 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34 says, "Awake to righteousness." In Romans 13, beginning in verse 11, he says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Ultimately, when we are baptized into Christ, that is really what we do. When we put that old man on a cross and kill him, and we bury that one, we put that one to death, we put him to sleep, and we are risen to walk in newness of life as we come forth from that watery grave of baptism, and we are awake to life. We are no longer asleep. We are awake in Christ Jesus. We are children of the day. and we walk and we move and we act and we live and we are not asleep as we go through this life in which we live. And our prayer is that that might describe you. And that is such a wonderful, wonderful existence and place to be. You're asleep this morning. Wake up before it is everlastingly too late. If we can help you this morning, we'd love to encourage you. We're here to help. That's what the people of God are here for. We're here to help. Here to love one another. Here to take as many people to an eternal home with the Lord Jesus Christ as we can. And if you're here this morning and you know that you're lost, don't let another day go by in that condition. Can we help you with anything this morning? Love to do that. Won't you come while we stand, while we sing?